Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Hello, everybody. It is a pleasure to be back amongst you on, I don't know whether to call these airwaves or not, but it is the Dave Holly Hour podcast, and I'm Dave Holly, and it is truly my pleasure. It's been a long time coming since I decided to do this back at the first of the year, and here we are just, you know, a couple of months away from 2020, where, of course, everybody's going to come out with a new slogan saying, I can see clearly in 2020, or at least the optometrists and so forth will. But at the beginning of 2019, I've never really been one for setting, or making resolutions. I have been one to set some goals. I try to make them attainable. I also still try to make some that are a little bit farther out there so that, you know, if we get to that point, that's great. But in the meantime, I still want to attain some things. Well, for me, this year, and it wasn't really something I set like January 1 of 2019. It was one of those culminations of just kind of going through the rough winter and saying, you know what? I really want to do a podcast. Because for those of you that know, yeah, I was spent the better part of a quarter of a century in radio. And for many of you that also know, I lost jobs in radio because of downsizing, new companies coming in, things along that line that have taken place. So I went out, found a real job, a very nice job that provides great medical advantages with great insurance and so forth. And that was needed. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. But I just kept thinking over the past few years, I would hear somebody on a radio or I'd see something on TV and think to myself, what would I say about it and so forth? Or what am I really passionate about that I want to talk about? Well, you're going to find out what I'm really passionate about is arts and entertainment. I have tried to be as involved as I can in the arts and entertainment scene throughout the city of Sioux Falls and the greater, what we call the Sioux Empire area. So I really want to focus on Sioux Empire arts and entertainment for the Dave Holly podcast. That doesn't mean that I won't talk about a few other things, because I still have things I want to get off my chest or talk about in general, and hopefully pass things along that you'll find mildly entertaining, if nothing else. Now, also, when it comes to speaking about arts and entertainment, let me fill you in that sometimes will include sports, because we have several minor league teams here in Sioux Falls that constitute entertainment as well as their sporting outing, as well as what you think of in terms of going just to see, you know, a football game, a baseball game, a hockey game, a basketball game. Those have entertainment involved in them as well, and entertainment value, and, of course, entertainment and tourism dollars that come in to this great city that has now grown to 183,000 and a couple, or 187,200, I believe, was a sign that I saw driving back from Rock Rapids the other day. And so there's plenty that I want to do and get involved in with yet, as well as bringing you the opportunity to learn more, not just about the artists or the authors. Yes, we're going to go beyond just arts and entertainment. We're going to include all of the arts and entertainment. So we're going to have authors. We're going to have the people that are making an impact in this community. We're going to have comedians. There is a we've had comedy clubs in Sioux Falls in the past, but there is a new comedy scene that's really grown over the past 5 years with a lot of open mic. There are a couple of different improv groups that are going on, one of which I was involved with pretty heavily for a while, and am kind of on a sabbatical from at the moment. But we're going to include magicians, musicians, hypnotists. We're going to have the people that organize events, executive directors. In fact, the first interview you're going to hear today is going to be with Executive Director Robin Byrne from the Sioux Empire Community Theater. They just opened up the new season, and it was a fantastic first show. We will talk about that. Then, later on, we'll be speaking to an artist and entrepreneur, Jillian Gunlix. Perhaps you've heard of this little sticker that Sioux Falls spreads love, that hashtag that's on there. And then also, you may have seen some wings around town that you can go stand in front of, have your picture taken. She has done quite a few of those wings and is branching out for a variety of other things as well. So we will talk to her. So some fun stuff coming up. In fact, now I'm not going to say that on this first episode that I'm striving for excellence. Obviously, at some point I want to get to the point of striving for excellence, but that is what Robin Byrne from Sioux Empire Community Theater is going to be telling you about. And also some of the things that he says, where he kind of said that Sioux Empire Community Theater was not the shiny penny of downtown arts. He says, we're starting to shine. So those are some things you can look forward to in that interview coming up in just a few minutes. But I want to get you a little bit caught up on me, what's taken place since the last time that I did a talk show of any sorts. Has been, 15 years or so. Last time I was even on the commercial radio as a host of any sort has still been about 10 years ago. So it's been some time since I've done something along this line. In the meantime, like I said, I ended up getting a regular job that benefits me greatly in terms of insurance. It's nice to have that so that I can try a venture like this on my own on a part-time basis and see what becomes of it. In terms of a goal for this, yes, I would like it to be at least once a week, but I'm not going to guarantee that. I'm going to make sure, however, there will be nothing less than once a month, but my goal is to have it once a week. Obviously, when we come up on the holidays, that may change, take a week or two off for some of the things going on there. But getting back to what's taken place in my life, I got remarried. I found a soulmate that I am incredibly in love with, and we have a great time together. And I did the Insta-family. In my first marriage, I didn't have any children. In this marriage, and ironically, I'd always wanted two girls. Well, got two girls. One's in her 30s, the other is in her 20s. The one that is in her 30s is a nurse and also has two adorable children that have stolen my heart. Harper is 8 years old, and at some time on this show, we will probably have Harper because she's just a hoot to have a little conversation with. She now has an eight-month-old little brother named Jack, who is all about the H's. Harper is his favorite. He's happy, he's hungry, he's handsome, and he can wear a hat like nobody else can. All right, so that gets you caught up on that part. And in the meantime, I floated around for a couple of jobs first, part-time here and there, doing whatever I could just to make sure that I at least had some sustenance in my life and was able to live to some extent. I wasn't living in a healthy way. I did lose from 15 years ago. I did lose almost 200 pounds. It's fluctuated a little bit here and there, but for the most part, I've kept it off now for a good 10 years, and I lost it the only way to truly lose weight, and that is slowly. It ended up being at a rate of less than 1 pound a week, and that's why it's been able to stay off. Yeah, so of course, that also means that I'm wearing some really old clothes now because my waist size hasn't changed in 10 years. There's good to that, and there's bad to that. Things are getting kind of ratty. It might be time to up the wardrobe. But so that has taken place. I'm still continuing to do some entertaining on the side. We have not had a Vaudy's show in a while. That's one of the sponsors of this program. Vaudy's is a fun thing that I had started along with the great Jenny Mack. She is a Sioux Falls queen of social media and also queen of the costume change. And so we host a variety show from time to time, and we are looking to get back to that. But I had another little hiatus that had to take place there for a while. I found myself, I've been diabetic for about 20 years, maybe even a little bit longer now. But 4 years ago, in the fall, it was the premiere of the NFL football season that night. It was about 85 degrees outside here in Sioux Falls. And I'm inside shivering and under an electric blanket. I had some open sores on the bottom of a toe. Just kind of, you know, kept putting a Band-Aid on it and some salve and things along that line and hoping that that would cure all. Well, it kept getting worse, and then that it was a Thursday night football NFL game. I told myself, you know, take some aspirin. If you feel okay in the morning, go to work. I went to work. It lasted about 20 minutes, and I started to sweat and was in a lot of pain. And I told my supervisor, I said, I have to go. I'm checking myself into the emergency room. To which they started taking a look at my toe and saying, we're going to have to do x-rays. And I thought, now, that seems odd. Why do you have to do an x-ray of a foot that has an open sore on it? They said, because it's infected and it may have gotten into the bone. Well, sure enough, it had gotten into the bone. And because of that, then, because that was a Friday morning that I went in there, they said, if nothing else, you are in here for at least a day and going to be taking heavy doses of antibiotics. And said, see you in surgery tomorrow morning. That's got to go. Yes, as in an amputation. So in this time frame, I have had an amputated toe. It took a very long time to heal. Lots of different processes that took place in trying to get it fully healed. It was about 13 months overall, a great portion of that being spent in some type of footwear, specialty footwear, to make sure that I didn't put more pressure on my foot. That finally got cured up. And then last year, just a year ago, I had a full knee replacement. And so I'm quickly becoming the bionic man, shall you say, because, or at least several thousand dollar man, because the knee surgery has proven to be, as my wife says, the best thing I've ever done for myself physically. I walk in a more normal gait. I've got the function of it that I need to do the things that I need to do. And it's amazing how in life there are so many small things that we take for granted. You know, things like being able to get down on your knees to look underneath the bed. Being able to get back up from having done that. Being able to walk down steps without the use of a handrail. There are so many things that we need to be grateful for. That's the other type of thing I want to pass along in this show as well as we continue on week by week, is that we want to bring some positive energy to things. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have some pet peeves. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have some rants and raves from time to time. But eventually we're going to be throwing in some segments, one of which I want to call Dave's Faves, pass along what I think are some of the great businesses in this area. And they will be local businesses that we talk about. But I also want to make sure then that we're talking about things that need to be addressed. You are not going to hear political talk in terms of who I think you should vote for or who I'm going to vote for or anything along that line. You want people's opinions. That's what Facebook is for. However, that doesn't mean I won't talk about some issues that come up within politics. So that's kind of a crux of what's taking place. What's going to be happening on this show? You are in for a treat when we talk to Robin Byrne in just a moment, the executive director of the Sioux Empire Community Theater. He is fun to listen to, first of all, and immediately when you hear his accent, you'll say, oh, that's kind of fun. But also has some great stuff to talk about. And one of our first thank yous that we have to pass along is to Josiah's, because they are allowing us to do some of our interviews at Josiah's in downtown Sioux Falls, one of Dave's faves. That's right. So thank you to Steve and everybody down at Josiah's. Robin Byrne, Executive Director of Sioux Empire Community Theater, coming up next on the Dave Holly Hour podcast.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and always stay in the kitchen when cooking at high temperatures. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the premiere edition, the debut of the Dave Holly Hour podcast, and I am joined today by the executive director of the Sioux Empire Community Theater, and if I didn't know it, he wore the t-shirt so I would remember it. Robin Byrne, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
Glad to hear that. Thank you
for having me here today.
Oh,
appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You know, I'm glad to be on your very first show.
Well, I thank you for that because, you know, I had some people in mind because I've got a list of about 100 people already, and you were on the list already.
Right.
But after seeing the opening weekend, well, not the opening weekend, it's actually the second weekend, I made it to the Thursday show of Mamma Mia, and you were out front and so forth, and then the show was absolutely phenomenal. I said, we got to move this up. We got to talk about Sioux Empire Community Theater before anything else. So,
yeah.
Glad to have you here. And so let's talk about that. You've got the new season that is underway now.
That's right.
And it was a raucous start.
Well, we decided, you know, at the end of last season, which was the best season we've ever had, and it was a good financial success as well as a good theatrical success for us. We've got to, you know, at least replicate that and do hopefully even better, you know, next season. So we wanted something to get us out of that starting gate really quickly. And Mamma Mia is one of those musicals that, you know, we'd have got a good attendance if we'd done a bad show, right?
Right.
But you can't do a bad show and then expect people to come back
for
all the other stuff, right? So, you know, we are so relieved and happy that all the hard work that everybody put in to that, the cast, the crew, the choreographer, Rebecca Merriman, did a fabulous job. Kim Bartling, as the director, did a great job on the show. And we had audiences that were thrilled and walking out, and some of them were buying our season tickets on the way out, which sounds a bit odd, having seen a show that they're buying a season ticket. But we only do 4 shows in the season. Mm-hmm. So we sell a 3/4 season ticket after that first show. And people were buying that up, which is, you know, it bodes well for all our upcoming plays and future seasons. But we've got a lot of big plans. We are expanding as we speak. Things are already happening. Announcements are going to be made. And, you know, we're taking shows on the road. We're expanding our regional footprint. We're moving into a bigger scene shop to be able to build better scenery, mm-hmm. etc. It's a great time for people to associate themselves with the community theatre and volunteer, whether it's on stage or backstage or neither, just on a volunteer basis. We need people to do all kinds of things. And, you know, I think it's our time. Yeah. We have been the dull penny, I think, in the downtown arts scene. And people's philanthropy has tended to go to shinier things, mm-hmm. and we're starting to shine.
Yeah. And now you're going to make that North Phillips destination better.
That's absolutely. I mean, with the arrival of the Levitt down there, that boosted things for us quite dramatically. My office is on the main street, on the ground floor, and I've got a big shop window in front of me. People can't see me because I've got one of those big stickers on the window that's got those pinholes in.
Right.
That it looks solid from outside. And I watched people stopping and photographing the window that has the forthcoming season, because they wanted to capture the dates of the right. of the various shows. And we had like 9,000 people walk past there for for all those Levitt concerts, and it helped us enormously. So the better the art scene is downtown, the better it is for everybody in the arts
scene. Very true. And it's funny, you had mentioned Kim Bartling, the artistic director of Mamma Mia. She and I have been friends for, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And she was buying popcorn, as was I, before the show started.
Right.
And all she said was, go have fun. And I didn't get a chance to actually see her after the show, but I messaged her and said, that was the most fun I have ever had in that auditorium, if no other auditorium that I had ever been in for a show before.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I started off each of my pre-show, speeches, for want of a better description, with welcome to the most fun you're going to have this weekend, because I knew how much fun that show is. We've partnered with the Washington Pavilion. They are the landlords of the building. They don't manage SECT. I want to make that clear, because a newspaper article recently said now that the Pavilion is managing SECT, and they're not.
Right.
They are managing the Orpheum building, which we rent. But we have partnered with them on the technical side. They have got lighting capabilities that we don't have. They have sound capabilities. In fact, they've installed into the Orpheum a brand new state-of-the-art sound system that's comparable to a Broadway system, with very expensive radio mics for the actors. So anybody coming along will instantly see an improvement in quality on those technical things. We partner with them on the set design as well, although we still construct the sets ourselves and dress them, ourselves. But we need to do two things: improve the quality of what we do. And when I say improve the quality of what we do, I think what we do is already pretty good quality, but I'm striving for excellence. And I want to model ourselves on the Playhouse down in Omaha, which is the most successful community theater in the whole of the USA. And they bring in $4.3 million a year in revenue.
Wow.
They do 10 shows a year. We do four, right? Of the $4.3 million, 65% of that is ticket sales, and the other third, effectively, is philanthropy. They've got a $7 million endowment there that produces about $380,000 a year for them in interest, and that's kind of pretty much what our budget is.
That's quite a cushion just for that.
So I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be a $1 or $2 million operation based on a comparison of demographics. And that's my goal, is to make us financially viable and improve the quality and establish us as a regional community theater that is still that is professional. And what I mean by that, all of our actors are volunteers. And whilst they are volunteers and not professionals, we get our royalties cheaper, etc., because it's amateur, if you like. But I want to pay them all a stipend. That way we can still get the cheaper royalties.
Right.
But I can give them some financial recognition for the significant amount of time these folks give up. We've always paid stipends to our technical crew. And I actually think the actors give up even more time than the technical people do. So I'd like to get to the point where we can reward everybody and become a significant regional theatre. We are the Sioux Empire Community Theatre,
not
the
Sioux
Falls,
right.
Community Theatre. Yeah.
Okay, a couple of things you've already mentioned that I want to get to. But first, I think we need to go ahead and hit what the rest of the season has in front of it. I know Tuesdays with Maury, which if I didn't spend a lot of part of December in a red velvet suit, I was going to try out for, but your show dates are in December.
Right.
So we've got Tuesdays with Maury coming up. Tell us a little bit about that, and then the rest of the way through the year.
Yeah, well, we've actually got
something
prior
to
Tuesdays with Maury, which is a mini tour of our most successful show from the last season, which was Steel Magnolias. And that, too, is the first 2 weeks of November, opening in Madison at the Dakota Prairie Playhouse on the 2nd of November for one night only. And we're bringing live theater back to that venue that hasn't seen live theater for a couple of years at least. And we're pretty excited to go ahead and partner with them, you know, going forward as well and doing even more stuff there. We go from there to Mitchell and do two performances at the Performing Arts Center in Mitchell. And then we bring it into Sioux Falls to the Icon and do a dinner theater at the Icon.
Wonderful.
And then we wrap it up, you know, 2 weeks after starting at the Opera House in Del Rapids. So first time we've done that, and we've already planned a tour for one of our shows from this season for next season.
Excellent.
So that's going to become a regular feature. Yeah. And then we get into Tuesdays with Maury, which is a wonderful play based on a best-selling book, and I think it was an Emmy Award-winning play. And what we're doing is we're bringing back someone who's very familiar with the Sioux Empire Community Theatre and the Playhouse before then. Larry Etten is going to be the director of Tuesdays with Maury. And we had our auditions I'm losing track of the days. About a week ago, we had our auditions, and we've got a great cast for it. It's a play. Some people might think it's a play about somebody who's dying, but it's actually a play about living. Really? And it's a play about recognizing that in your life, the people who love you are the most important things. And if you only had, you know, 24 hours left to live, what would you do with that time? The answer most people give is spend it with the people who love me. And the message that comes out the play is, why don't we do that all the time? Why do we leave it until we're dying, you know, to realize that's where our most valuable time should be spent? And it's quite a joyous play in some ways. I think it's a bit like our Steel Magnolias. It's one of those plays that will make you laugh and it will make you cry.
Yeah. How many are in the cast in that?
Well, normally there's only two people.
Right.
Right? And there are some additional voices that you hear. But we're going to use two occasional actors to play those additional roles and physically appear on stage while they're doing that. But other than that, the majority of the play are the two main characters.
So that's going to be a load to carry in terms of learning lines.
Yes, it is. It's a shorter play though than some of them. It'll only be it'll all be done in one extended act. I don't see us having an intermission. I might correct myself later, but I don't see us doing that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what comes up after that?
Then we've got a farce, Lend Me a Tenor, one of those raucous, door-slamming, has-to-be-timed-to-perfection farces where there's lots of confusion, lots of mistaken identities, and it's a great show in the sense that people are quite familiar with it. It's not rare to find the local theatre companies. It's been on their agendas for a while and a few past seasons. So, you know, when you look at Worthing Dinner Theatre, who are good friends of ours and people like that, they've introduced this play in the past, and people are going to have a lot of fun if they come to that. I think it's probably ranks as one of the best of those traditional farces. Yeah.
Okay. Then what do you cap the season off with?
Family Show. Big Disney version of Beauty and the Beast. And this was one we thought long and hard about, because our formula for success has been, you know, last season, and for most of this season, has been let's do things where the royalties don't cost too much, where we're not going to have to spend a fortune on costumes and this, that, and the other. And really, that went out the window with Beauty and the Beast. But we know, like Mamma Mia, it's going to be a show that will attract a good size audience. And we're introducing a new young director to that show, Anne Houston Campbell, who came to us recommended by the head of the theater department down at USD. And she is a postgraduate student down there, so she's already got her theatre degree and she's doing additional stuff. So I'm looking forward to working with her and seeing what we can create. But, you know, costume-wise, we've got a pretty hefty costume budget. And we just got a sponsor for that show the other day. I'm still looking for sponsors. I'd like someone to sponsor Lend Me a Tenner. And I'm looking for a half sponsor, because we've already got someone sponsoring the other half, for Tuesdays with Maury. But, you know, moving forward with this expansion and this, you know, bigger regional footprint, etc., I'm really looking forward to marketing a plan to grow an endowment. I'm looking at that $7 million endowment that they've got down there in Omaha, and I'm thinking, boy, would I like something close to that. And I think realistically, it's achievable to reach for $5 million. If in reaching for $5 million I fall a little short and I only end up with $2.5 million,
still well done.
I'm not going to be disappointed.
Right.
Right. But the revenue that comes in from endowments like that really do secure our future, and everything we do on ticket sales is, you know, is a bonus on top of that. And the Mamma Mia ticket sales were just sensational.
So along with that then, what do you see beyond, you know, 2 years, 5 years, and so forth? What do you think Sioux Empire Community Theater, you mentioned you're striving for excellence in terms of the production.
Yeah.
What are you looking for as Sect being the premier, so that maybe even people from Omaha and the Twin Cities and so forth, North Dakota,
yeah,
say, you know what, I've heard about Sioux Empire Community Theater. I understand they're putting on some incredible productions.
Yeah.
Let's get down there.
The reality of it is some of the productions we're putting on at the moment are every bit as good as anything you might see at the Guthrie or anywhere else. I mean, I've lost count of the number of people who came along to Steel Magnolias and Mamma Mia and just said, wow, you know, this is the most fun I've ever had at the theater. You know, we do pretty good shows. We need to market that in order to create that vision that you're talking about there. I would like to see us expanding to do more shows per year. In order to do that, I need to expand the staff that work under me, which at the moment is a couple of part-time people and a bunch of volunteers. And I need to be able to convert some of those part-time people into full-time mm-hmm. employees and some of those volunteers into part-time employees so that we are resourced to manage that expansion and do a quality job. I even see us maybe at some point in the future, and don't hold me to this either, but we might want to own our own space again. Right. You know, the Playhouse, which preceded the community theatre, used to own the Orpheum, and they ran into financial difficulties by expanding beyond their capabilities at the time. I'm not going to allow that to happen while I'm executive director. It's very much taking a business approach first and the theatrical approach second. The fortunate thing for the company at the moment is that I have a foot firmly in both camps. I trained in theatre and was a drama teacher and then a head of a drama department in a college. And then I joined Xerox and became a businessman and ended up running operations for Xerox in the north of England. And then I set up my own company, helping other companies to translate their good intentions into very measurable outcomes. So I'm able to combine both to making sure that the Sioux Empire Community Theatre is financially sound and on a good solid business model. And then that the quality of what we're doing because of that financial underpinning that we have is really maximized to the hilt. Yeah.
Okay. Want to get back to something else you'd mentioned earlier about the fact you're going to have a different space for constructing sets.
Yeah.
And hear about that. And I just want to lead into it with, at my regular job then on Friday, I mentioned we'd been to Mamma Mia on Thursday night and what an incredible show it was. And the gal I was speaking to was talking about she had taken her daughter to see Chicago at the Orpheum after having seen it at a pavilion show, seen the movie, and so forth. And she says, all I could think about was, how are they going to do a big production on that small stage? And I said, well, they hit Mamma Mia. She says, yeah, they hit Chicago, too,
yeah.
and did so well. So that takes, in the bit of theater that I had in college,
yeah.
Aside from the acting part, but being in a class, learning, and having to do some practicum in the shop,
yeah.
I was just amazed at seeing how that all comes together. That is something so many people are unfamiliar with when they go watch a show.
Yeah.
They just take it for granted that, oh, yeah, well, okay, now we're in the Seaside. Now we're over here. So that takes a lot.
Yeah.
So where is the new shop? What's it going to be? What all will entail? And how is it going to benefit SECT?
Well, the new shop is almost next door to the old shop.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it backs on at 90 degrees to the
okay.
to the old shop, but it's half as big again. And I've got to give a shout out here to the people at Lloyd Properties, because I went to have a meeting with those guys to hit them up for a donation, and I wanted them to sponsor a show, and the conversation went along the lines of, you know, this is something we think we might be happy to do, Robin, next year, but this year our philanthropy dollars are pretty much allocated. So I just casually suggested that maybe they would like to build our scene shop out for us, because all we have up there is a big empty unit, you know, and it needed a lot doing to the interior. And we'd had plans drawn up free of charge by the Stone Group architects who've supported us in the past. And the build-out was going to cost in the region of about $50,000, which we really didn't have in our budget. And without skipping a beat, Lloyd Property said, yeah, we'll do that for you.
Fantastic.
And they got all of their contractors to come on board with it, people like Shornemans, who provided the lumber and component manufacturing. And I did this the other day in an interview. I can't remember the name of all of their
right.
guys, and I'm just so grateful to them, because it involved everything, including sprinkler systems and plumbing and electricity, you know. And the speed at which they are working and providing this for us is phenomenal. So we're moving into that in the next 2 weeks. Which is a big undertaking. But we'll have the space we need to construct the sets. And set design is a real skill. It's what I actually majored in at college, set design and acting. And the things you can do with basic minimal sets, lighting and curtains, sometimes, you know, boggles the mind. And the way technology is going as well, these LED curtains that they now produce that can create illusions that amaze audiences, that might be something on our shopping list that we might want to get somebody to be kind enough to help us buy, you know, at some point in the future. Yeah.
Your college days, set design and acting, what inspired you? What made you say, you know, this theater thing's pretty cool?
It's, I don't know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a pop singer. And I was in a band when I was like 17 and stuff. And then I decided I was going to go to teacher training college without really knowing what I wanted to do. So I kind of looked at all the subjects that were on offer. And I'd done some Gilbert and Sullivan as part of my high school acting stuff, mm-hmm. and I thought, yeah, I think I'll go and do drama. That'll be fun. And then, you know, I didn't really plan on being the drama teacher, but I ended up doing that. And I think I was so financially strapped as a teacher that when my brother joined Xerox, I thought, I'm going to do that because he's making three times or four times as much money as I am as a teacher. And then after doing that for many years, the theatre dragged me back, and it was here in Sioux Falls. I'd already moved here, and I saw that the community theatre were advertising auditions for Les Miserables, and I thought, wow, that's my favourite musical. I'm going to go and audition for that. And the talent that turned up at that audition took my breath away. This is a fantastic town for talented people. We, you know, singing-wise,
all aspects of the arts,
acting, yeah, music-wise. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And that's why I know, moving forward, we can continue to do things that challenge any of the professional theatres in the area. The problem we have is getting that talent to commit to us for an extended period of time for free, because they're usually busy doing so many other things. And that's where us upping our game and improving our reputation and maybe offering some financial incentives to people will help us significantly, I think, with the improvement of quality and everything in what we do.
So what made you desire this position?
Well, I was pretty much working with the theatre on almost a full-time basis. Once I did Les Mis, they dragged me into 8 back-to-back main stage shows, and then got me to start directing. And you know, I'm of an age where my daytime job was starting to bore me a little bit, so I decided to wind that down and replace it with the theatre. The unfortunate thing is, I haven't wound it down by the same number of hours that I've cranked it up with the theatre. So I'm now working much harder at this time of life than I had actually planned on doing.
Yeah. But by working harder at something you will love,
absolutely,
has it made it less stress?
I'm not doing it for the money, because it doesn't pay the bills.
Right.
You know? it's something I really love doing. Moving forward, I'm hoping that as we add staff, we've just recently added a production director to the staff on a part-time basis, which will free me up quite considerably to start looking at the fundraising side of things. But I'm hoping as we do that, I'll get my daily hours to a more normal level, and I'll find eventually a day that I can take off, because right now it's been every day and every weekend has been, you know, fully occupied. Yeah. It's time for a rest.
when you do get that rest, then,
yeah,
and you're not around the theater, what do you like to do?
Well, I like to play guitar and play piano, so I relax doing that. When it comes to watching sports and things, I'm a big fan of Formula One motor racing.
Racing? Okay.
Yeah, and I like to watch the English Premier League from a soccer perspective. When it's not the middle of winter, it's nice to go onto the golf course. Haven't had any chance to do that at all this year. Not once. so that's what I'm looking forward to getting to do, yeah. And I like to go to the movies, yeah.
All right. Well, Robin Byrne, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. Thank you for being on the debut edition episode of the Dave Holly Hour podcast. And again, best wishes to Sioux Empire Community Theater. You guys rocked it with the opening show, and I just have the feeling that even more great things are on tap there.
Well, thank you so much. And let me equally wish you all the best of luck with
your
new venture with the Dave Holly Hour.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Dave Holly from Dipsy Doodle Productions. I've been doing voiceovers for radio and television commercials for over 35 years. If you make the decision to hire a voice actor to portray your company or organization, please consider me. While having read thousands of scripts may seem impressive, what I want to impress upon you is how important it is for your words to be in the right order and phrased properly. That's how I help you impress your clients. To learn more, go to dazzleshows.com/dipsy.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
All right, welcome back. So coming up in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with artist and entrepreneur Jillian Gunlicks about a great sticker that's going around town. Also some wings that you may have seen around town. No, we're not talking about hot wings or buffalo or anything like that. We're talking about those that are painted on murals that you can stand in front of and take a selfie. It's a really cool thing. She's a really cool lady, by the way, as well. Also, I wanted to let you know a couple of things that I'm going to be up to. One of the other things I've been doing lately is hosting trivia at the Sky Lounge in T. And we have trivia coming up on Friday, the 18th of October at 7 o'clock. And that is going to be general knowledge. And then just in time for Halloween, Friday night, October 25th, it'll be horror movies as the theme for trivia. Jillian Gunlicks is coming up next.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and always stay in the kitchen when cooking at high temperatures. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov because fire is everyone's fight.
He's a bit flirtatious, but most of all, fun. Here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the premiere edition, the debut of the Dave Holly Hour. I'm Dave Holly, and joining me now is Jillian Gunlicks, artist and entrepreneur. Great to have you along.
Thank you.
And we must give full disclosure that you are probably the easiest guest to get a hold of because you are my neighbor.
Yes, yeah, that's
okay.
True.
But it's one of those things that, you know, when I decided to do this and thinking back to the days of when I used to have the Dave Holly Hour on radio. And I really like focusing in on arts and entertainment. And, of course, the first word out of that arts and entertainment is arts.
Mm-hmm.
And you are an artist, and I really wanted to advocate for the arts. And this is a great time to have you on the show because you just recently came out with something that is supporting the city of Sioux Falls.
Yes.
With your sticker. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a design I came up with, and I was trying to figure out what to do with it. It's just a heart with some flowers around it that really meant a lot to me. And I was trying to figure out what to do to get it out there in the public and then also spread a little love and kindness into Sioux Falls and people's hearts. And so I thought, why not combine the two and create a sticker? And with the hashtag, Sioux Falls spreads the love. So it just is reminding people to spread some acts of kindness, spread some love, and just really make it grow.
All right. And that's been, you know, part of you from the beginning, really.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I've come to know you. And one of the other things besides this sticker that you've been doing is if people are around town and they see some wings, you painted them, didn't you?
Oh, pretty likely that was me.
What was the impetus for that? What
yeah.
made you decide that, you know, if we've got some wings around here and people can have their picture taken with the wings and so forth, what made you say that would be really cool to have around this town?
Well, it's kind of funny because I really wanted to do some murals and I was trying to reach out to some people, trying to figure out what that would look like. And I kind of was just not figuring it out. And then all of a sudden one day, Adam Weber, who is the pastor at Embrace, reached out on Facebook and said, hey, I want these wings to be painted. Does anybody know somebody that can do it? And I was tagged in that post. And I reached out to him and I said, this is totally my project. Like, I need to do this. Uh-huh. And we talked about it. And I think a week later, I was painting them. So it all happened really fast. It was definitely a God thing. It was meant to be. And I was wanting and meant to do that. And then, so I did those first ones in the cathedral district, some angel wings, and it kind of took off from there. And I did like eight more. Yeah.
I knew you had done a few more, but I didn't.
One of them is a butterfly wing. One of them's butterflies, but you know, public interactive murals. Yeah.
Well, then these two projects really coincide then, don't they? Mm-hmm. The wings and then spreading the love in Sioux Falls and so forth with the sticker.
Yes.
And so what are you hoping becomes of all this?
I just really love art to be in people's lives on a daily basis and to really inspire people and on so many different ways and to kind of lift their spirits and give them a little touch of magic in their everyday life. And that, whether that be taking pictures with some wings and having a fun photo op or seeing the sticker all around Sioux Falls and, you know, just being reminded to spread the love and act kind to each other and just maybe go out of your way to touch someone's life.
So how many stickers are out there already?
Oh, gosh. I handed out about 200 in the last week and a half.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Incredible. And people can get them as well.
Yes. Yeah, so you can stop downtown at Say Anything Jewelry. They have them for sale there, or my Etsy page. So Jillian Artistry on Etsy. You can order them off there too. And I think I'm actually going to be making t-shirts here.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
We'll have t-shirts for sale at some of the boutiques downtown and on my Etsy page as well.
That's great. And, yep. And in the meantime, I display mine proudly on my nice thermal, a jug that I take to work and so forth. So people will ask about them. And it's really great. And what kind of response have you had besides you've handed out several hundred and so forth, but what other kind of response have you had concerning that?
Oh, it's so much fun. We actually have a coloring contest with the toy store downtown too. So we printed them off onto coloring sheets so we can get kids involved and having the parents talk to their kids about kindness and doing acts of kindness for each other. But we've had, like, I started a Facebook page, and my goal and hope is that people will post things on there that they've done, different acts of kindness, different things of love that they've shared. A friend of mine bought some stickers and is going to use them to do acts of kindness, and she bought some, she works downtown, she bought some cologne for a homeless man that came in, and he would always spray this cologne on himself and you know, just say thank you and leave. And so she said the next time he comes in, he has a bottle waiting for him.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So it's, like, it's just things like that.
In some ways, they're going back to that old movie of Pay It Forward, but also just the fact that, you know, there are so many random things that people can do throughout the day and throughout the week that
really,
it does spread that love then, doesn't it?
And even just like complimenting a coworker, something simple like that, just saying, I'm grateful for you and thank you for showing up the way you do, or for, you know, your attitude, or just little things that maybe they don't get noticed.
So in terms of the city of Sioux Falls and spreading the love, do you find that as you're walking around in your daily life?
Yeah, there's always little things here and there. I look for it a lot too, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I look for it. And like even the connections that you make with people that you run into on a regular basis, like at the grocery store, there's, you know, a guy at the grocery store that is always so kind and wanting to have conversations. So I've gotten to know him a little bit, you know about his wife. Just even like, and I dropped off a card for him and I said, you know, thank you for always being a bright light when I come into the grocery store. Yeah. So like even just going that extra step to thank people for everyday things that they do, I think that's really important too. And not just kind of overlooking that. Yeah, where you can just take the extra step.
Like at Christmas time, going through a drive-thru, we'll say, pay for the next car.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. So it's just taking a little everyday things that you can do.
Do you consider yourself an entrepreneur as well as an artist?
Yes. And I think that's something that maybe I've come to terms with in the last few years, where I'm like, oh, yeah, like I'm actually doing this. And that is what I'm considered. Yeah.
Like I said at the beginning, you know, you're my neighbor, so I know all the things that you've been doing and so forth. And then now the branching out, it's just so fun to see that. But let's let people know the things that you have done artistically.
Yes.
You're a very great pet portraiture.
Yeah.
Would that be the correct word?
Portraiture? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you also do the live wedding painting. Mm-hmm. So you've really found a niche in your artistry, haven't you?
Oh, I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. I have done that for about 5 years, where I go to weddings and I will paint a portrait for the bride and the groom at the wedding reception. So basically people get to watch from start to finish the entire painting created. And I've actually been amazed at my own, like, how much it's developed and how fast I've been. Even in the last couple of years, it just keeps getting faster and faster. So I'll do this entire painting in about 3 to 4 hours.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. incredible. Mm-hmm. What's it take to, because what would you consider yourself? More of a realist then?
It's pretty real or kind of impressionist, maybe a little bit. Yeah, in between that.
Graced us mm-hmm. With our little kitty. You have a portrait that you did of her, and it's just fantastic. And what does it take when you do that type of work, though, mm-hmm. to capture the spirit of the subject?
Yeah, that for sure is, that's definitely realism, those portraits. And I have to make sure, it's the eyes that you definitely have to make sure you capture, because that has the whole soul of the animal, or the child, or whatever it is, you know, whatever photo I'm doing, I have to really pay close attention to the eyes, because that's the soul of the...
And this has taken you further as well, because you've been hired to do some nurseries and so mm-hmm. forth. What else are you looking for?
Next steps. I don't know. I'm still loving the murals, and I just love the portraits, the live painting, and the murals, because it's just a little bit of everything. You know, I don't get bored. It's something different every week.
Okay, so that keeps you busy. But mm-hmm. when you just want to paint or you just want to draw, what types of things are you working on?
Oh, I like to do more like goddess paintings and kind of capture some maybe mystical kind of art, you know, just really off the wall. Yeah, not, it's realistic, but it's kind of combining different realms.
Well, you definitely have the talent for it.
Thank you.
Like I said, you know, one of the things we want to do here on this podcast is really advocate for arts mm-hmm. and entertainment. And you've come a long way already, and I see great things down the future for you yet, too.
Thank you.
But in terms of when you're not doing art, what do you like to do?
Oh, I like to be in nature, that's for sure. I spend a lot of time with my 10-year-old daughter, so we definitely like to go hammocking at the park or traveling, just exploring, living life.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, it's great living life near you as a neighbor, but also knowing you as an artist and an entrepreneur.
Thank you.
And it's certainly been a pleasure. Thanks for spending a little time with us here on
the
first episode of the Dave Holly Hour.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank mm-hmm. you. And if people want to get in touch with you, what do they need to do?
Just look for Jillian Artistry on social media or my website.
Fantastic. Appreciate it. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Dave Holly from Dipsy Doodle Productions. I've been doing voiceovers for radio and television commercials for over 35 years. If you make the decision to hire a voice actor to portray your company or organization, please consider me. While having read thousands of scripts may seem impressive, what I want to impress upon you is how important it is for your words to be in the right order and phrased properly. That's how I help you impress your clients. To learn more, go to dazzleshows.com/dipsy.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
All right, let's wrap things up for this first edition of the Dave Holly Hour. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I appreciate all of you that have been giving me some well wishes. I do want to say a couple of thank yous to an old friend that was an old listener of mine years ago, but he's not old because he's young. Gene Young, thank you. It was great seeing you in the store the other day, and I liked your enthusiasm for my show. It nearly equals mine. I also ran into Jeffrey Miller recently, who is a film and English professor at Augustana University, and he
asked me, because he'd seen that I was going to be putting together a podcast, he said, so how's it going? And I told him the date that we were shooting for, 10-10 of 2019. And by the way, Jeffrey was a great interview and a great guest of mine several times years ago on my talk show that was, you know, quote-unquote, on the air. Well, I immediately told him, don't worry, Jeffrey. The Oscars aren't that far off. We'll talk those with Jeffrey coming up after the first of the year. In the meantime, another thank you goes out to all of you. Even if I didn't run into you recently, there have been so many of you that have asked, what's it going to be about? When does it come on? Where will I find it? Well, we're here now, aren't we? And we'll be with you again next week. One other thank you to pass along, Zach Dresch, who did the voiceover work for this. And we will talk to all of you again next week on the next episode of The Dave Holly Hour.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.